Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The Republicans should say, we want to take over. We should take over the voting in at least many, 15 places. The Republicans ought to nationalize the voting.
President Trump's calling for elections to be nationalized in his latest bid to keep Republicans in power. This comes after the FBI raided an election facility in Fulton County, Georgia, to seize ballots from the 2020 election, which Trump falsely claims he won. We'll speak with Arizona's Secretary of State and with a former Department of Justice voting official. Then arms control groups are warning the world is moving closer to nuclear war, as the U.S. threatens to attack Iran and a major U.S.-Russian nuclear treaty known as New START expires Thursday.
For the first time in over half a century, there will be nothing preventing a runaway nuclear arms race.
Then we look at the White House meeting between President Trump and Colombian President Gustavo Petro. In recent weeks, Trump had repeatedly threatened to attack Colombia, but Trump struck a very different tone on Tuesday. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump doubled down on his calls for the Republican Party to nationalize voting in the United States, even as the White House tried to walk back his comments. Republican lawmakers also criticized the idea, with Senate Majority Leader John Thune saying, quote, it's harder to hack 50 election systems than it is to hack one. Speaking to reporters yesterday in the Oval Office, President Trump repeated false claims about the 2020 election and urged the federal government to take over voting in the United States.
If a state can't run an election, I think the people behind me should do something about it. Because, you know, if you think about it, a state is an agent for the federal government in elections. I don't know why the federal government doesn't do them anyway.
Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution designates individual state legislatures with determining how elections are held. Meanwhile, House Republicans unveiled the Make Elections Great Again Act, calling for voters to present a photo ID and verify their citizenship when registering to vote. It comes as officials in Fulton County, Georgia, promised to take legal action after the FBI last week seized truckloads of ballots and documents, 700 boxes from the 2020 election. National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard defended her presence at the FBI raid at the Fulton County Election Center, telling Democratic lawmakers she was there to identify possible foreign interference. Gabbard is also facing renewed backlash following reports by The Wall Street Journal that she's allegedly hiding a whistleblower complaint accusing her of wrongdoing. The Journal reported the whistleblower's complaint is so highly classified that it's, quote, said to be locked in a safe, unquote, and it has not been shared with Congress. The whistleblower's lawyer has also accused Gabbard of stonewalling the complaint, which was filed last May. Speaking on Capitol Hill, the brothers of Rene Good urged Congress to restrain President Trump's crackdown on immigration. Brent and Luke Ganger testified at a hearing held by congressional Democrats on Tuesday on the violent use of force by federal immigration agents deployed to cities across the U.S. Brent Ganger read from his eulogy to his sister, saying Good was, quote, unapologetically hopeful. And this is Luke Ganger. He calls his sister Nay, addressing lawmakers on Tuesday.
The completely surreal scenes taking place on the streets of Minneapolis are beyond explanation. This is not just a bad day or a rough week or isolated incidents. These encounters with federal agents are changing the community and changing many lives, including ours, forever.
Not a single Republican lawmaker showed up for the hearing. Among others who testified at the forum Tuesday were Aaliyah Rahman, who was violently dragged out of her car by federal immigration officers in Minneapolis, Martin Daniel Ruskin, who was shot by border agents in California while driving his family, and Maramar Martinez, who was shot 5 times by a federal immigration agent in Chicago last year. This is Martinez.
At the hospital, I remember seeing multiple agents standing around, watching me be treated for my wounds. My arms, legs, and chest were all wrapped in bandages. I had 7 bullet holes in my body.
Democratic Congressmember Robert Garcia then displayed text by the Border Patrol agent after he shot Martinez.
The agent linked an article about your shooting and texted, "Read it. 5 shots, 7 holes. I fired 5 rounds and she had 7 holes. Put that in your book, boys. Oh, well, it is what it is. It happens."
New York Attorney General Letitia James announced Tuesday she'll be deploying legal observers to document federal immigration raids across New York. The move comes as federal immigration agents face mounting scrutiny over excessive use of force in the aftermath of at least 4 fatal shootings since September. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, several people were detained by ICE in Jersey City and Hoboken over the weekend. A video recorded by Jersey City Councilmember Jake Efros during the arrests has gone viral, in which an ICE agent is heard saying, quote, "I don't need a warrant, bro. Stop getting that in your head. That's it," unquote. President Trump signed the consolidated funding bill hours after it passed the House, ending the partial government shutdown for now. The legislation includes only a 2-week extension of funding for the Department of Homeland Security. Democratic lawmakers are calling for reforms on federal immigration enforcement as part of a deal to negotiate more funding for DHS. In a statement after the House vote, Democratic House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said, quote, "Americans from every corner of the country are demanding accountability and an end to the lawless paramilitary tactics that ICE is using in our communities. Absent bold and meaningful change, there's no credible path forward with respect to the Department of Homeland Security funding bill next week," Jeffries said. Colombian President Gustavo Petro sat down with Trump in a closed-door meeting that lasted approximately 2 hours at the White House Tuesday. It was the first face-to-face encounter between the two leaders following months of tension and heated exchanges over the Trump administration's military strikes on civilian boats in the Caribbean and the Pacific Ocean. Their talks also came a month after the U.S. attack on Venezuela and the abduction of Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro and his wife in early January. After the White House meeting, Petro shared a photo on social media with a note apparently handwritten by Trump that said, quote, "Gustavo, a great honor. I love Colombia," unquote, with a photograph of the two leaders shaking hands and smiling. Trump took on a drastically different tone after he previously insulted Petro and falsely accused him of being a drug trafficker, threatening Colombia with U.S. military action. Petro spoke after the meeting yesterday.
Sí, le dije que es entre limpios. I told him that between free people, one cannot act under blackmail. Do this or else this happens. No, we do not act under blackmail. And I think the photos and the atmosphere of the meeting show a meeting between equals who think differently. Yes, with different powers, obviously, but capable of finding common paths. That's it. Nothing personal. He did not speak to me about his businesses, nor I about mine, which I do not have.
Colombian President Petro traveled to Washington, D.C. on a special visa after the Trump administration revoked his previous one in September when Petro joined a pro-Palestine rally outside the United Nations headquarters in New York and urged U.S. soldiers to disobey Trump. The Trump administration also issued sanctions against Petro and his family in October. We'll have more on this story later in the broadcast. The U.S. military announced it shot down an Iranian drone that approached its aircraft carrier in the Arabian Sea. It comes as President Trump confirmed the U.S. is currently negotiating with Iran over its nuclear program. Trump's Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, and Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, are expected to meet with the Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi in Istanbul on Friday. We'll have more on this story and the bulletin of concerned scientists saying that the doomsday clock is closer to zero than it's ever been, closer to midnight than it's ever been in history. Israeli airstrikes killed at least 20 Palestinians, including children, across Gaza today. Israel's killed over 500 Palestinians since the U.S. brokered so-called ceasefire went into effect in October. It comes as the Palestinian Red Crescent says the evacuation of patients and wounded Palestinians via the southern Rafah crossing has been canceled for today. Israel's been tightly controlling the Rafah crossing since it partially reopened Monday after 2 years of total closure. On Tuesday, only five medical evacuees were allowed to leave and only 12 Palestinians were allowed to re-enter Gaza from Egypt. 56-year-old Huda Abu Abed was among the few people let back into Gaza after Israel's delayed reopening of the Rafah crossing under last year's ceasefire.
They said the crossing was going to open. You know how long we've been waiting for the crossing to open? Because no matter what, there is nothing like your homeland. It is right there. Everything needed for life is available. Everything is there. But our longing for our country, we can't be distant from it or give it up.
Meanwhile, two Human Rights Watch employees have resigned after HRW's leadership blocked a report which called Israel's denial of the right of return for Palestinians a crime against humanity. Omar Shakir, who led the Israel and Palestine team, said in his resignation letter, quote, "The one topic, even at Human Rights Watch, for which there remains an unwillingness to apply the law and the facts in a principled way, is the plight of refugees and their right to return to the homes that they were forced to flee," unquote. To see our interviews with Omar Shakir, you can go to democracynow.org. Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office yesterday, President Trump insulted CNN reporter Caitlin Collins for not smiling as she asked him about Epstein's survivors.
What would you say to the survivors who feel like they haven't gotten justice?
You are the worst reporter. No wonder CNN has no ratings because of people like you. You know, she's a young woman. I don't think I've ever seen you smile. I've known you for 10 years. I don't think I've ever seen a smile
on
your face.
Well, I'm asking you about survivors.
You know why you're not smiling? Because you know you're not telling the truth. And you're a very dishonest organization. And they should be ashamed of you.
These are survivors of a sexual abuse of health care.
Recently, President Trump called CBS's Nancy Cordes stupid, Katie Rogers from The New York Times ugly. And when Catherine Lucy of Bloomberg News asked him about releasing the Epstein files, Trump told her, "Quiet, piggy." And hundreds of workers at Hearst Magazine staged a half-day walkout in New York City to call for a fair contract, protections against AI, better wages, and work flexibility. This comes as management failed to reach an agreement with the union after their contract expired last month. This is Mary Fama, an art director at Cosmopolitan magazine, Cosmo, speaking to Democracy Now!
AI is going to be a problem for writers, for creatives, for a long time. And these are the things that are, you know, we're worried about in the future. So we want these AI protections now to keep us, you know, safe and know that our work is respected here.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump doubled down on his calls to nationalize elections in the United States as he continues to falsely claim he won the 2020 election over President Biden. On Monday, Trump appeared on a podcast hosted by Dan Bongino, who recently resigned as FBI deputy director.
Say, we want to take over. We should take over the voting in at least many, 15 places. The Republicans ought to nationalize the voting.
Under the Constitution, U.S. elections are governed by states and administered by county and municipal officials in thousands of precincts. Trump was asked about his call to nationalize elections Tuesday.
What exactly did you mean when you said that you should nationalize elections? And which 15 states are you talking about?
I want to see elections be honest. And if a state can't run an election, I think the people behind me should do something about it. Because, you know, if you think about it, a state is an agent for the federal government in elections. I don't know why the federal government doesn't do them anyway. But when you see some of these states about how horribly they run their elections, what a disgrace it is, I think the federal government, when you see crooked elections, and we had plenty of them, and by the way, we had them last time, but go to 2020 and look at the facts that are coming out, rigged, crooked elections. If we have areas, take a look at Detroit, take a look at Pennsylvania, take a look at Philadelphia, you go take a look at Atlanta, look at some of the places that horrible corruption on elections, and the federal government should not allow that. The federal government should get involved. These are agents of the federal government to count the votes. If they can't count the votes legally and honestly, then somebody else should take over.
The Constitution says that should be states that administer elections.
Trump's remarks come days after the FBI raided an election facility in Fulton County, Georgia, and seized truckloads of ballots and documents, something like 700 boxes from the 2020 election. U.S. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard was present at the raid and later used her cell phone to let President Trump speak to the FBI agents, a move that has alarmed former Justice Department officials. This all comes as Republicans continue to face major electoral losses. On Tuesday, Democrat Taylor Rennett won a Texas state Senate seat, receiving 57% of the vote in a district that Trump had won by 17 percentage points in 2024. Trump has publicly expressed fear he'll be impeached again if Democrats win back control of the House in November. To look more at President Trump's attacks on the nation's voting system, we go to Phoenix, Arizona, where we're joined by Adrian Fontes, Arizona's Secretary of State. He is the former county recorder for Maricopa County, Arizona. He oversaw the elections there in 2020. The Justice Department has sued Arizona and over 20 other states for their full voter registration lists. Secretary Adrian Fontes, thanks so much for joining us. If you can start off by just responding to President Trump saying he wants to federalize, to nationalize the elections, and what exactly that means.
Well, what it means is that you, as an American, if you are comfortable right now in the face of this rhetoric, then you are with the regime. It's really that simple. This is the moment where the American public should be exercising its power under the First Amendment to stand and be counted. What we have right now is sort of a welcome to the third world doormat, and we're walking right over it as if nothing is going on. And so very clearly, my call is not what my reaction is. It ought to be what your reaction is as an American. Again, if you're comfortable, you're with the White House.
So talk about what it means that Arizona has refused to hand over the voter rolls. It's very interesting. I was just watching Minnesota Governor Walz, who, you know, was responding to Pam Bondi saying maybe they would pull out, you know, end the surge if Minnesota would give over the voter rolls. I want to go right now to Governor Walz.
Look, I think everybody understands what the last request was, totally unrelated to anything on the voter files. This is, again, as the Attorney General said, Donald Trump telling everybody that the election was rigged, who started all this nightmare for America, has nothing to do with it.
So he believes that ultimately this isn't even about immigration, what's happening in Minnesota and the killing of two U.S. citizens there by immigration agents, that this is about getting control of the voter rolls. I mean, Pam Bondi specifically said she wants those voter rolls. A number of states, what, about a dozen, have said they'll hand them over. But Arizona, your state, Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, says no. What does that mean?
Well, no means no. And what's happening in Wisconsin with that extortion letter, we'll take our gang off the streets if you hand us, you know, this thing that we value. Speaks again to what I said earlier. Look, if they were comfortable with their policies and they were excited about facing the public, they would love to have an election. They would love to have the states just running things the way they did. And the clip earlier where Donald Trump said, oh, 2020 was corrupt, but 2024 was okay. You know, it just speaks to the notion that he understands very, very clearly that there are consequences to leadership when facing the power of the American people. And that power regularly gets exercised through the normal process of elections. Elections are the predictable, normal, I've likened them to a golden thread that run through the fabric of our society. It binds everything together. And what he's trying to do is pull that golden thread out and disintegrate the entire fabric of our society and throw us into chaos, unpredictability. And that's bad for business. It's bad for science. It's bad for the arts. It's bad for innovation. It's bad for, you know, entrepreneurs. It's bad for everyone. This is a moment right now when, like here in Arizona, we should not be handing over any of our personal identifying information to the president. Not only should we not be doing it, but it's against the law for me to fulfill the request from the Department of Justice. But let me make one thing very, very clear here as well. The Department of Justice has never asked the state of Arizona, through my office or any other means that I'm aware of, for the regularly available voter list that is available through a public records request. What they've asked for is all of the personal identifying information that we are charged by law to keep confidential under penalty of felony conviction. Okay, we're talking about mother's last names, date and month of birth, part or whole of your social security number, tribal ID numbers. These are the things that we are charged to keep confidential, and the Department of Justice is asking for it, and I'm just saying no. So to your question, what does no mean? No means no.
You oversaw the 2020 election in Maricopa County, another extremely important county, and, you know, another very, very important county in voting in national elections, also targeted by a conspiracy and misinformation campaign to say that the national election was fraudulent. What's your reaction to this latest step by the Trump administration to seize ballots in Georgia? And 6 years later, how has that turmoil from 2020 impacted voters and politics in Arizona?
Well, let's just be clear. The turmoil in 2020 was not turmoil as it pertains to the administration of the election. The 2020 election was run by regular U.S. citizens like you, me, and the viewers of this program. It's just folks who show up and do this work every couple of years whenever they're called upon, because Americans value good, solid, clean, fair, and accessible elections. So we just do that work. The turmoil was caused by those folks who were out in the parking lot of our offices at our warehouse with their long rifles, including the Q Shaman and Alex Jones and those types. That's where the turmoil came from. The folks who wanted to disrupt the election system. And let me be really clear about something. I was on that ballot in 2020 with Donald Trump, And I lost my reelection bid just like Donald Trump did in a clean election, a free and fair election. Now, since I've become Secretary of State after that, we've made sure to maintain the same kind of integrity, the same processes, for the most part, just improving some access for voters across the state. What really bothers me here is that so many Americans are just depending on somebody else to make sure that things go well. They're depending on somebody else to do the job. We as Americans individually, every single one of us, have not just the right, but the duty to stand up when things like this happen. And so when we don't have outrage, when we don't actually move that outrage into action, we're essentially complicit with what is happening. And so I'm doing everything that I can in my office to not only maintain the integrity and the lawful course of the actions of the Secretary of State, but I'm also calling on American citizens to be lawful and peaceful and assert our rights and our power. Remember, if they weren't afraid of our power, they wouldn't be trying to squelch it and keep us from using it.
Secretary Fontes, I wanted to read from the Arizona Mirror in 2020. Trump himself has repeatedly fanned the flames, alleging without evidence that Dominion machines deleted 2.7 million votes for him, and tweeting, "Now it is learned that the horrendous Dominion voting system was used in Arizona and big in Nevada. No wonder the result was a very close loss." And again, you were formerly the recorder for Maricopa County through 2021. And I wanted to go to this other issue. These two are connected. Atlantic Magazine recently published an article headlined, "MAGA Thinks Maduro Will Prove Trump Won in 2020. The article quotes MyPillow founder Mike Lindell saying, quote, "I'm hoping now that Maduro will actually come clean and tell us everything about the machines and how they steal the elections," unquote. Some have speculated Trump could pardon Maduro in exchange for him stating Venezuela interfered in the 2020 election, even though no evidence of that exists. Again, that art I was reading from The Atlantic. Since you were really at the heart of it then, and Fox had to pay something like over $750 million, $750 million for libeling Dominion systems. But can you comment on all of this and the presence of this is such a complicated issue, but the presence of Tulsi Gabbard saying she was there in Georgia because she's interested in foreign interference in the election, sort of stringing this whole thing together?
You know, I'm reminded of some of those scenes we see in sitcoms sometimes where there's a big board with a red thread that just kind of goes from here to there in conspiracy theories. But this time there's a little ketchup splattered on the wall as well. The bottom line is this. The elections in America have been free and fair since their inception. There have been minor issues here and there that get worked out through the courts. But it is in the courts, by the way, where that settlement that you mentioned happened. It is under oath and through the regular process of law and procedure that we end up with the just results. And in that case, the just results were someone was held accountable for the lies. In the world of politics, the courts will give great deference because they want politicians to be able to share ideas. And so the lies that are being spread about our elections get to go a little bit further, except when they get into the courts and when you have actual accountability. Remember, after the 2020 election, there were like 60 or 61 cases, and not a single one showed any actual evidence of wrongdoing on the part of elections officials. And being in Maricopa County, boy, let me tell you, and Maricopa, by the way, at the time, and still is, the second largest voting jurisdiction in the United States of America. We're talking about 2.5 million voters in the Metro Phoenix area. No small potatoes, and it was a tough task, but I had a great team in 2020, and we did an amazing job. So kudos to the folks on the ground. Kudos to the folks in the polling places. Kudos to everyone who knows that they can stand on their integrity, they can stand on actual history, and we can put all of the conspiracy theories aside, except that the greatest threat to American elections and our republic is the idea that Donald Trump is still lying about the 2020 election. Everything else is just a symptom of that illness, and we need to figure out a way to get past that. We, the American public, have to stand up to this president. We have to stand up to our own president, as was charged by our founders, to make sure that in our discomfort, we exercise our power and we move forward as a nation so that we can get past this and we can go back to being the folks who can innovate, who can create, who can just hang out and love one another once in a while without every single day having to worry about the grievance of the resident at 1600 Pennsylvania.